so corny.
Yo, 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 yo. I'm trying to do my best Snuggie transition.
Right.
Welcome to Corny Dads Podcast. We're just some corny dads that do some dope things for our dope children.
Kids.
You see? Yeah.
You couldn't bake me on that like you baked Snug. Yeah, you know what I mean?
No, you had it.
I practice.
I love this Ace.
I am the man with many hats. Some people call me Chico. These guys call me Ace, but my kids call me Papa.
I be Yogi Dan Namaste.
Namaste.
Hey. My name is Oz. Catch me on
TikTok.
At Corny Dads OJC.
We on fire. We on fire.
Let's work.
And of course, today we are missing one of our corny counterparts, Snuggie H. But Snuggie H is out here doing some incredible things at the Rump Classic.
Yeah, he's at the Danny Rump Classic, working with the children, working with the organization right now, where they're having a campaign called Save the Next Bright Star. Mm-hmm. Whereas though my young boys was able to come down to the basketball game for free because of the campaign. So shout out to the Danny Rump program and organization, where they have NBA players right now out there balling. So my kids are out there. They's like, oh man, look at Markieff Morris, and they was just so excited to see NBA players out there. So them giving back to the community, right on for the Danny Rump Classic. Shout out to Snuggie H too, my boy.
Shout out to Snuggie H, and you know what? A huge shout out to Philly, man, because everybody talks about New York City being the mecca of basketball, but let's not front. Philly bring that heat, too, when it comes to basketball.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
When it comes to the court, Philly bring that heat.
Indeed they do. All right, so today is the most wonderful time of the year, or is it? Back to school. Back to school. And, of course, all of us here have school-age children.
Mm-hmm.
And as the summer comes to an end and we start entering the fall season, we start thinking about back to school and all the things we have to do, running around, getting supplies, getting that drip for the new year.
Mm-hmm. Gotta get that drip.
But over the past couple of years, back to school has looked and felt a little different, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
With
Correct.
The pandemic,
mm-hmm.
With the atrocities with the school shootings,
mm-hmm.
and with the new arising concern of monkeypox. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that we have to unpack here when it comes to the back to school season. But even before we do that, Yogi, you have school age children.
I do.
Oh, well, tell us about what grade they're going into, and how do you feel back to school season?
I would love to talk about this, because number one, I have three children.
Okay.
All with I would say different educational needs.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that. So that's about 3 years ago, I decided to do what I had no business doing at the time, which was taking my daughter out of school and homeschooling her. Right?
Listen, I actually applaud you, and I congratulate you for doing that.
No, I do.
Because I'm gonna get to that, but go ahead.
Before, you know, and I said no business doing at the time, because I had no idea what I was doing. And I just want to be clear, I want to talk about the reason why I chose to do make that move.
Mm-hmm.
I made that move because I felt like the public school at the time, and this is actually in like the suburbs, the public school, Elkins Park. At the time, London wasn't getting the education that she needed, right? Mm-hmm. That was tailored towards her, mm-hmm. right? So when you're in a public school, you're getting one packet of information, and everyone's learning the same.
Same curriculum.
Same curriculum. And I said, you know what? I she would come home and it's like, hey, can you tell me reiterate to me what you guys are learning? She couldn't tell me, mm-hmm. right? So, and then it just seemed like she wasn't getting what she needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? I waltzed into the school and I just literally handed them, you know how you hand your 2 weeks in? I handed my 2 weeks in. I said, but it was that day, it was effective that day. I said, I'm taking her out, and I didn't look back. So she's been in homeschool for the last 3 years. My son, Dennis, what it looks like for him, he's actually, once I homeschooled London, his mom was like, Dennis' mom was like, yeah, I want to homeschool then too. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because again, him coming out of the daycare system, mm-hmm. again, we didn't feel like he was being given the needs that his needs weren't being met, and he wasn't flourishing into the flower that he can flourish into, because mm-hmm. my son is extremely gifted when it comes down to intelligence, like mm-hmm. young boys on it, right? Mm-hmm. And she was like, you know what? I'll school him myself. So he's been schooled for the last 2 years at home. He's well advanced, and now he's unlike London, that's going to be homeschooled again. Dennis is going back into the school system, but this time he's not going to the public school system. He's going into the private school system. So he's going into a school that they learn through play. They learn no technology at all, right? It's just straight curriculum and straight learning. When it comes down to how do you say this? They learn through doing. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's no, it's not the public school curriculum. And I can get into his curriculum a little bit later. And then my daughter, Dior, mm-hmm. We understand that her needs were different. So all three of my kids' needs are absolutely different. Mm-hmm. Dior is one of the kids that she is super wise and intelligent, but at the same time, she likes to run around and get busy, right? But, so she yeah. wants to see everything, touch everything. She wants to understand everything she does. Mm-hmm. So we had to choose a different school for her, mm-hmm. Montessori school. Mm-hmm. So Montessori school, you learn through play as well. You learn mm-hmm. through play. You learn through touching, seeing, tasting, touching. They have animals, like a farm. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like a carnival mm-hmm. all together. So when we went to the Montessori school that she's about to go to, she just was, her eyes lit up. We couldn't even find her at one point. It's like, where's my child?
She's just
making things happen. And a teacher at the time was like, yeah, she belongs here. So, just those three have different needs, and we found out each need of our child and put them in their in desired space.
That's super dope, and that's you paying attention to detail, because all three of your children have different needs, and they're going to need to be placed in different situations. See yourself?
See, my situation is a little different than them. My child goes through the traditional school system. But the difference between Justice is, when Justice was in, when he started off in pre-K, he started off in pre-K at a school called Sunshine Learning Center. And Sunshine Learning Center is, the executive director of that learning center is Miss Giovanna Askew. And to be quite honest with you, Justice excelled, like immediately. Mm-hmm. At the age of like 2 or 3, Justice knew all the 50 states, the capitals, and the 2 territories and their mm-hmm. capitals. Mm-hmm. So Justice was, you know, I could say, you know, we were blessed to have had the resources in order to find the proper schools, right, that actually met mm-hmm. our child's need, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't yep. necessarily have to take them out of the school system. So Miss Giovanna, Miss Askew, Sunshine Learning Center, you know, anybody that's listening right now, if you're in the Clifton area, North Jersey, and you have a young child, I definitely would recommend that you go to Sunshine Learning Center. Yeah, Sunshine Learning Center. Ms. Giovanna, I ask you, she's a phenomenal executive director. Her staff there is phenomenal, the whole nine. So fast forward, after Sunshine, Justice is now in the charter school system, mm-hmm. right? Man, the story of how we were even able to get him into the charter school system is nuts, because it's a crazy waiting list, right? Mm-hmm. So being the dad that I am, right, it was one of those situations where I was up there every single day.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you gotta do that.
Like every day, like coffee, donuts, whatever I needed to do. So that way the people could see me and recognize that at the end of the day is we are a proactive family.
Yeah.
Indeed. We're not a reactive family. Yeah. Right. Right? So I think ultimately when you start applying to some of these schools, whether it's private schools, some of these affluent charter schools, right? It's more about they know the child that they're going to get, but they want to know the package, mm-hmm. right? What's the sure. package? Yep. What's the family?
What comes with it? What's tied to it?
So I guess for me, one of those things that I just drove home and my partner also drove home was the ability to stay consistent, making the consistent phone calls, popping up, hey, how's it going? Just mm-hmm. around the corner, knowing that I just drove a whole hour to get from point A to point B. Yeah. Oh, no, I just around the corner, coffee, donuts, right? But it shows if you're going to do this to get your child into the school, you're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that your child succeeds
absolutely.
In the school.
Oh, absolutely.
Active parent.
So that's what it is, man. So, Ace, You got two kids. One, Amir, I see you, Amir. I got to holler at you. We haven't argued in a while. I need to talk to you.
We'll be back sooner than later.
So what are some of your fears or some of your concerns about your child going to school this year?
Well, I have now this year I'm going to have both of my children are going to be school-age children. Amir's 11. He's going into sixth grade, junior high school. You know how that was a big transition going from grade school to junior high school. Mm-hmm. You're not in the same class all day. You're with seventh graders, eighth graders. The public school system that we have in our town is a really good school system. Transitioning from Brooklyn to Jersey, we see that, you know, smaller classrooms, more hands-on. Dope. And like you said, we're active parents. We pull up, you know what I mean? The lady at the front desk, she knows us. She knows me on a first name basis. Hey, Mr. Mental, how you doing? Hey, how you doing today, Sarah? How's everything going? Go Giants, right?
Yeah, that was the last name. That was the first name, but we're gonna let that slide.
That was the last for
Mentor.
Mentor is your last name.
No, they call me Mr. Mentor. But anyway, so truly and honestly, my daughter going into kindergarten this year.
Kindergarten.
That is something where she's going to get on the bus. She's going to travel on her own. She's excited about it, but I am definitely getting the jitters about that. Her just going on her journey to independence now. You know, doing her own thing, and you know, being a student. And there's a lot of things that go through my mind. I like to, you know, be able to see, touch, and feel my children. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now that they're, you know, I'm releasing them out into this world to get this education and to bring me back riches, because they always say, release your children out into the world and let them bring you back riches. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It comes with a bit of anxiety.
Speaking of anxiety, dude, I was a helicopter dad. I refused to let Justice get on the bus.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
A helicopter dad?
Taking them from wherever.
I'm like on it. I'm like hovering over everything, like. Nah, I wasn't okay with him catching
the bus. Oh, I'm following the bus the first day of school.
No, bro. I wasn't okay with him taking the bus. Because I'm one of those people that I don't want, like, sorry's not going to cut it for me. Right? I'm sorry, it's just not going to, not with my family. Like, right. Sorry just doesn't cut it. So I prefer to just take the onus on myself. Mm-hmm. I'll do the running just so there's no miscommunications. There's no I'm sorry's. I prefer that. However, I've just now have grown into the space where I'm like, all right. I just now started growing into the space where it's okay. You know, he's 11 now, so he wants a little bit of independence.
Yeah, right.
But before then, nah.
I was about to ask that. Well, I remember you talking about kindergarten. I remember dropping London off to kindergarten. I took her, and when she let go of my hand, I couldn't even hold it together, man. Yeah. I literally start crying. I got in a car, I was crying. And she was, hey, all right, Dad, I'm leaving. And I'm just like, no. I think it just represented something like, yo, you're really about to go off and do your own thing now. Absolutely. Like, and then I just started looking 18 years later, 19 years later, and I was like, oh my God, you know, I started to go through that. But just to answer, I want to talk about the fears. You asked him about the fears, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we talked about, and you just talked about school shootings and the things that's going on in our schools right now that are terrifying. And I just want to say, look, you just think about the school around the corner. My godson just went to a school that's around the corner from where I live right now. And when we look at it, we're like, okay, school shootings, we see it going down, but that happens like, you know, periodic. This the stuff that's happening in these schools around the corner from us is happening every day.
That's
it's happening. Right. This stuff is happening every day. I'm talking about it's kids that get killed in schools in our area. Happens often. Or kids that are getting tormented, chastised, that are getting bullied, these things are happening in our school system literally every day. So going to school is almost like, you know, if you look at the schools that's in our area in Philadelphia, some of the public schools, they look like straight prisons, man.
They do.
So that's the big fear. Our fear is the school to prison pipeline.
Yep.
Right? That pipeline where you go there and you're like, okay, you got to go through metal detectors. Or you seeing the bot wires around us around the school. Mm-hmm. Or you seeing a recess outside gated in.
It looks right. like the yard.
It looks exactly like the yard. Right? And these kids are going to the lunch table. You're looking at the lunchroom, and the lunchroom and their lunch tables look like the lunch tables in the yard in prison.
Right. They do. Mm-hmm.
So we like, okay, we see these things happening, these isolated things that's happening, and it's horrible. They're terrible. But then we like on a day to day, we're in survival.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these kids that are going to schools in a public system are in survival every single day, just trying to fend for their lives. You know, and I went to another school. I'm not going to name the school, but where I was there, and we were doing a program, and the kids are like, yo, they have gangs, and they got the gangs in school. Like, you have to be affiliated with a gang in school so that way you're not, you have somebody that you're associated with. So if you have any trouble, you can have someone, a group to go to that can defend you. What does that sound like?
That's a gang.
Prison.
Yep. Yeah.
Prison, right? Mm-hmm. And some of these kids, and then we look at the attendance rate, and we say these kids aren't going to school. Why do you think they're not going to school?
Yep.
Right? So it's so many different issues that we have within our public school systems, and even, you know, the school systems in our major cities, that needs to be represented. Look, it needs to be attended to. So the fair, when you talk about fair, that's the reason why we, you know, London wouldn't go to a high school in our area. We have to send her somewhere else. And she's an extremely creative kid, and she's in the arts, and she dances, she sings, she writes, she reads, she talks so articulately. This girl can talk, I'm saying, she's talking like a college kid.
That's
you understand
dope,
what I'm saying? So, we gotta have to put her where she can flourish.
Mm-hmm. No, indeed, I would agree.
And you know what? One thing that I definitely want to say, I definitely want to make sure that this goes on the record. Our hearts go out to these families of these mass shootings.
Absolutely.
You know, you send your child to school to get an education, and you expect from them to come back home educated. You expect them for them to come back home better than you sent them.
Indeed.
So it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in an urban environment or you're in a suburban environment. You know, the truth is, you know, our hearts definitely go out to the victims of these mass shootings, to the parents that are still dealing with the loss of their children.
Oh my God, even just saying that is crazy.
So, but like you said, it is going, you know, while it's not mass shootings going down in our communities, you know, we do have issues. We do have real situations that are happening in our public school systems that need to be addressed.
Absolutely.
Indeed. So with that being said, like, the starting of the new school year, and we have all of these thoughts going through our minds as far as you know mass shootings, bullying, things of that nature. How do you prepare yourself mentally, and just the process of preparing yourself and your children for the school year? Like, what are some of the things that you do? What are the your thoughts that go through your mind?
Listen, I think the first thing that goes through my mind when sending my son out into the world is making sure that he puts on his armor every day, right?
Absolutely.
So me and Justice, we have a routine that we do every morning. You get up, you say your prayers, you make your deposits are push-ups, right? Sit-ups, right? Make sure you put health first, and then you eat, and then we go on our merry way. So I think the first thing that comes to mind, right, is as a parent, you know, we pray for our children.
Mm-hmm.
I think I am who I am, and I'm as far as I am right now in life, right? Because of the prayers of my grandmother, the prayers of my mom,
Thanks.
The prayers of my dad, right? That have covered me, right? And ultimately now I think, you know, we're at an age and we're at a space, right, where we are providing that same ritual, right, mm-hmm. to our children, so that way they know it as well, right? So that's the first thing for me, right, which is God first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Universe, whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. Put that first, spirituality first.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next is, you know, you live in that faith, you live in that belief, you explain to your children, at least I do, I explain to Justice, like, yo, what's required of him? Because there are certain things that I know that I wouldn't accept, but I would tell him to accept it,
mm-hmm.
right? To
mm-hmm.
allow it to just be, right? Because I prefer you come home rather than getting a phone call that something went wrong, right? And then just establishing that. And then I think the third part is just establishing yourself in the school. You have to be an engaged parent.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
you know, as a you know, I started my career off in education, right? So I got to meet a lot of teachers and a lot of students, and I got to meet some really great educators, mm-hmm. right? I'm talking about from principals on down, mm-hmm. right? And then I've got to meet some that weren't really that good. And the way that they treat your children is mm-hmm. based on your interaction.
Absolutely.
So even the worst of the people that I've met, they're basing it on what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What's the worst that could happen?
Who's coming?
Who's coming?
Mm-hmm.
Who's coming?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Same thing go with, you know, within sports and everything else. Like, if you're not an active parent, you're going to end up finding out your son has a concussion later on in mm-hmm. life instead of you being there being like, oh, no, don't put him in there again. You feel mm-hmm. me? Mm-hmm. So same thing, like, I've noticed with education. With education, you know, you get the best out of your educators, right? The more you are present, the more that you show that you are engaged
in
with your child's learning development, educational development.
Absolutely. I would share the same sentiments, bro. And then also, you know, with the prayer, that piece, right? So, you know, we're heavy into meditation, heavy into yoga in our household, heavy into protecting ourselves energetically in our home. And that's one of the things that we teach our children from the rip. We just want them to understand that a lot of what happens outside of you happens inside first.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to protect yourself first. You want to see what the thoughts that you have going on inside of your brain. You want to pay attention to those thoughts and the frequencies that you're sending out to the world, right? So we want them to get that first and foremost, to absolutely pray and actually protect themselves before they go out into the world. Mm-hmm. And I think us letting them know that we're here.
Absolutely.
We are absolutely here. One of the things that my dad did really, really well was he's like, you go out into the world, it could be dangerous. And you protect yourself, but also know that if anything's to happen, I'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I'll be here for you. Oh. And I share that same ideology with my kids. Say, hey, listen, I always got your back.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, and just one of the things I want them to understand is that they can always talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they can always tell me what is going on. And you can always speak up. Don't ever be too embarrassed to let me know what's happening. Because I'm not going to judge you, number one. And I'm on your side, number two. I'm always going to be on your side.
Always.
In public, I'm on your side.
Yep.
Now in private, now if something happens, now we need to have a conversation about that. But I'm going to never embarrass you outside of these houses. My son did that. My daughter didn't know they didn't. I got your back. What are we talking about right now? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I'll take care of that, and I'll always stand by you and be loyal to you. But just understand that you have to have responsibility as well. You got to take responsibility and accountability for your actions. And when I say responsible, I mean that you have the ability to respond,
mm-hmm.
right? So in any circumstances, humans, that makes us different from any other creature. We have the ability to respond to a certain thing. We don't always have to react, mm-hmm. but we can respond. All right. So I think those are probably the three things that I would say. I would protect and send that arm out with my kids when they go into the world.
No, I think I would agree. I think there's some great talking points that you guys all presented. I mean, as far as establishing your presence in school,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, my son, he's a very sociable person, and a lot of people tend to gravitate to him. But one thing I do tell him all the time, and I exercise with him often, is be observant. Be observant of your surroundings. Be observant of the people around you. Be observant of your thoughts.
Because
mm-hmm. That in itself is like a mechanism to protect yourself.
Sure.
Because when you see something coming or see something on the threshold, you can know how to deal with the situation. You know what I mean? And another point what he said, establish yourself as a parent, as a presence in the school.
Mm-hmm.
Let administration know who you are, who you're here for, who your child is, so that they understand that, okay, he or she has a support system at home,
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to expect nothing but the best. There was a situation one time with my son where something transpired in school. A child was called a name. He was in the collective group mm-hmm. of children. Now, in my son's school at the time, there weren't too many children of color mm-hmm. in his school, so he was single-handedly pulled to the office. You express communication, talk mm-hmm. to me, tell me everything that's going on. He came from home from school. I asked about the situation, what happened. He told me that everyone was pulled into principal's office, but he specifically was pulled in and really spoken to and trying to dig information out of him. I had to make a call to the principal.
Mm-hmm.
nothing of that was expressed for me through the administration. I had a conversation with the principal. I said, listen, anything that happens at school in regards to my son, I don't care if it's he's walking down the hallway with his shoelaces untied.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be told that.
I need to know.
You know what I mean? So as parents, having kids in educational institutions, we have to establish our presence.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You know what I mean? So I can't express that enough. Like, we have to establish our presence.
What about a parent that is, what would we say to a parent that is working two jobs, that is, you know, really can't get into the school, can't join, because something really corny that Osner does, right, is he's on a board of the PTA. He's a PTA father. Like,
oh,
he's on a board of the PTA. He hosts the PTA meetings almost.
Mark, hit me with a that's so corny, please.
I'm not even a part of the PTA. I am not. I just make it to all the trips.
I've been on a school trip. Those are good to
I
go to.
I love the school trips.
I love the school trips.
Yo, sometimes you got to go on the school trips because your kid is the one. And they're like, yo,
watch him.
You know, you got to go.
Oh, the kids in my son's school, I came up one time. They was like, oh, man, your dad looks like LeBron James. I was like, sure, you're right.
And I'm playing like LeBron. But what about the parent that, what do we say to the parent? What advice would we give to the parent that maybe works a lot and can't really be, or not say that can't, right? Mm-hmm. But doesn't seem like they can be as involved in their children, in their child's education, in the educational services of their child, into the schools and the meetings and things of that nature. What would we say to a parent like that?
Honestly, I'll say the same thing that I said to the fathers, you know, not too long ago,
mm-hmm.
Which is, there's no reason for you not to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
This technology. Mm-hmm. If you, honestly, a majority of the meetings now, they're done through Zoom or WebEx, mm-hmm. right? So you can actually make the meetings, mm-hmm. if you choose to, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a matter of just communication, right? Even if you don't have a cell phone, right? You could send a letter to the school.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
I think ultimately what we're saying is that there needs to be some form of communication, right? There has to be a form of communication established with the school to let the school, to let their administrators in the school, to let the teachers in the school know that, hey, my child has a tribe behind him.
Mm-hmm.
We care.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of us, we go above and beyond. We're going to the trips, you mm-hmm. know, we're at the dance recitals.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us, we're doing all of that extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, all of that isn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
What's necessary is just a clear and open line of communication. Even if you call once a quarter, you feel what I'm saying? Once a month, you just call, hey, I just want to check. Or if you go pick your son up, right? You know, you may or may not have that availability to pick your child up from school. But if you do, you know, you want to ask, like, hey, how are things going?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just talked about, you know, our kids getting on the bus. Hey, Mr. Bus Driver. Hey, you know, bus aide.
Mm-hmm.
How you doing? This is who I am. Da, 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 da. People just want to know, right?
Yeah.
And you just, and you know what? We go to so many different other places and we indulge into so many different other things in life, right, where we put our best foot forward,
yep.
right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Our kids deserve our best foot forward. They deserve the conversations with the bus drivers, the school aides, mm-hmm. the deans. Like,
yep.
they deserve that because at the end of the day, we're the biggest advocates for them.
Absolutely.
Of course. And I think people make time for things that they want to make time for.
That's correct. You know, prioritize.
So you got to mm-hmm. prioritize. So speaking on establishing our presence in school, the teachings and everything that we try to instill in our children as they go to school, what are the valuables and principles that you hold with your family when it comes to education? What does education mean to you?
Okay. So the reason why I took London out of school is because I felt like the things that they needed, and I think a lot of our parents share the same ideology, right? That the things that they're learning in the school system aren't the things that are preparing them for the world that
for
keeps
real life.
Changing
Agreed.
So fast, Bad. Right? So when we're talking about, I remember when I sent my packet in for, because you have an evaluator and you have to send a packet in to the evaluator and they ask you, what did you teach your child? And I'm like, one of the things on there was statistics and economics.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, economics is vitally important for my child to know, especially if we want to break generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
Investing is important to know. Supply and demand is important to know.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, emotional, emotional intelligence is uber important to know, right? Mm-hmm. That in order to make it out through the world, you gotta be emotional intelligent, right? Mm-hmm. And what does that mean, and how do we practice that? Mindfulness was huge to me. So when it has physical education and gym, there's yoga, there's mindfulness. So I think, those things, that's the important things. When I saw that she wasn't learning those things, and I saw that the same things that I was learning in school, she was still learning. I said, they didn't upgrade this. Mm-hmm. They didn't do anything
same
to this.
Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same place. Thing. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I looked at the system as a whole, and I said, this is to keep us, keep the generations in the same space, in the same, running on that same treadmill. And I said, I cannot have that, because my father didn't do that for mm-hmm. us. My mother didn't do that for us. They bust us out to the Northeast, right? So mm-hmm. we saw that early, that we needed to do something much differently than what was handed to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See?
And for me, I think education starts first at home, right? Oh,
indeed.
I don't necessarily rely on the school system to provide my child with a well-rounded education.
Right.
Right? You know, in schools right now, there's no home ec.
No.
Right?
We used to have
these it. These are life skills. Home ec. Woodshop.
Woodshop.
All of these other courses, right? They no longer have some of these extracurricular subjects anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So for me, at home, like one of the things that I'm teaching Justice how to cook.
Right.
You feel what I'm saying?
Support.
I'm teaching Justice how to cook. The other day, we was in the house. I went to grab the cabinet. The cabinet thing came off. I'm like, what the heck, right? Uh-huh. So I was like, hey, go grab this. Go grab this screwdriver. Come on, let's screw this back in and let's put it back together, right?
Yeah.
So to me, I never necessarily ever thought to myself, you know, being in education, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting my career off in education, I was clear, like, education, that there's a certain curriculum that you uh-huh. that you have to follow. Mm-hmm. And what the school system, my belief is, what the school system provides to you, it provides you with discipline, and it provides you with a base.
Yep.
With a
foundation.
Structure and discipline.
Right. Yes. It provides you with a foundation. Mm-hmm. Now, everything else around it is supposed to foster that foundation, right?
Right.
And what we do, like, I love going to museums.
Mm-hmm.
I love going to the museum, yep. right?
Yeah.
To me, that I don't need the school to take my child to a museum. I enjoy going to museums. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go to a museum. And I just want to be very clear. Most museums cost, like, maybe $2 to $5.
Some of them free. You can just walk right in.
Some of them are free, right?
Yeah.
You know, some of them are free.
Yep.
Like, I love going to exhibits. I love going to the aquarium. So there's certain things that I personally enjoy doing, right, which ultimately translate into an educational opportunity for my child, right? Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you know, to answer your question, what do I expect from the school? I really expect the school to provide my child with a base, with a foundation, and everything else around. Like, him being able to, you know, to come to these sessions with us, right? Mm-hmm. Sit back there and really understand what the engineering is doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sit in some of our meetings. We meet every Thursday, and he's a part of those meetings, understanding how a business is ran from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Those, to me, yep. are some of the fundamental.
Yeah, that's vital. The fundamental. Yeah.
Fundamental and vital, vital educational opportunities that our counterparts are receiving, whether they're receiving it consciously or subconsciously.
Right.
They get to hear somebody on the phone talking about, hey, this and this and this is happening, right?
Yeah.
But now we're bringing our children directly into the fold.
Absolutely.
Like, this is what it looks like.
Absolutely.
You feel what I'm saying? And we're giving them an opportunity to learn at a much younger age. Like, some of the things that I've learned now, like, I've said this, at my age, I'm not going to say my age, but at my age, right, I want my son at his age to know everything that I know at my age.
Right.
Because at his age, if he knows everything that I know at my age, Lord knows what he's going to be at my age.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the name of the game.
It's generational.
Yeah.
Of course.
And to break generational curses.
Yeah, stand on our shoulders. And
to break generational curses, we grew up in apartment buildings.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Yep. That's important.
I don't know how to swim. He does.
What about vacation?
Oh, man. I never went on a vacation. Just so you guys know, I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Our vacations was Coney Island.
Coney Island.
How far was Coney Island? Maybe 5 miles away.
Probably walking. Cool.
That was the beach.
Yeah, it was the beach. It was the beach. So those were our vacations. Our vacations was going to backyard barbecues.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, you know, God put us in the right positions that our children, they get to experience the world, which, again, is education, right? Mm-hmm. You get to see how other countries operate. You get to mm-hmm. understand the different climates in the Caribbean versus the climate here. Right. Why doesn't it snow? Why does it snow there, but it doesn't snow here?
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
How come this plant grows here, but it doesn't grow here?
Yep.
So, again, or like life experiences.
Of course.
That's the education.
That's the biggest,
no, that is definitely
education.
Important. I think, like, I would agree in that sense that children going to school just lays the foundations. What's your ABCs, 1, 2, 3s? But is it really going to get you prepared for life? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's
depending on what school. It depends on what school is mm-hmm. and where it's located.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And the funding that you're getting and
mm-hmm. funding.
But that's why it's so important to advocate. Mm-hmm. Join the PTA.
Join the PTO.
Be the helicopter dad.
Be the helicopter dad.
Or mom.
Or mom. Be the helicopter parent, right?
Be a helicopter parent.
Be a helicopter parent. Because that's, I know I'm so corny. but that's honestly, when you go to these meetings, you get to know and you get to understand like how the funding is being broken down. Mm-hmm. Why are they taking out gym? Like, right. You get to understand some of these things. And once you get to understand some of these things, then you can get to, you know, start to advocate. You get your little crew of parents mm-hmm. together, yep. and y'all start talking about, hey, you know what? We don't want frozen lunches here. We want fresh food.
Mm-hmm.
We want apples. We don't want applesauce.
Shouts out to Michelle Obama. That was one of her initiatives when President Obama was in office, getting out all those junk foods out of the school system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her fight was about childhood obesity to make sure that, you know, our children, not our children alone, but our communities.
Our communities, indeed.
Was fighting childhood obesity.
I believe one time, I think Den even mentioned it, going to the corner store, you know, all you know the waters are in the back, you know.
Yeah.
That's being taught in school. Like, my son looks at nutrition facts like, mm-hmm. oh, this has this amount of sodium mm-hmm. and salt.
That's
something that is out of the traditional school system, mm-hmm. right? You know, you're just not being like, hey, here's your, you know, cheeseburger. No, nutrition.
You know what? I actually want to touch on something else, too, that's so critically important in our community.
Talk on it.
There are so many kids that the meals that they receive, these meals at school. When they go home, there's nothing to eat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is why it's so important, right? You know, there's an initiative, it's called No Kids Left Hungry, right?
Mm-hmm.
The No Kids Left Hungry is about, you know, honestly, it's no color barrier, right? Whether you're white, black, purple, mm-hmm. or orange, right? Mm-hmm. You hungry. Mm-hmm. You're hungry. So we found out that, you know, if a kid goes to school on a full stomach, guess what? He's more apt to,
absolutely.
Of course.
Apt to learn. Right?
Of course.
So that's why school breakfast, lunch, snacks, after school programs, the dinners, mm-hmm. they're so important, right? The nutrition is so important to a child's educational learning opportunity.
Of course.
And in fact, what you talked about with Justice, you teach them how to cook. Because maybe you're not home, right? And maybe the food isn't prepared when you get there.
Mm-hmm.
But once the child is there, they can, hey, independently whip up the food that they need and not waiting on someone
mm-hmm.
to make it for them, too. So, yeah, definitely it's critical to the mind and to the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you know how important what you put into your body.
Absolutely.
Talk about that, Dan, because I think that's a learning opportunity now. Not only for kids, but it's a learning opportunity for the adults as well. So these Pop-Tarts, let's keep it real.
Toasted strudels.
And you go, right, and you eat it, right? But that's high, I'm going to let you talk
high
about
fructose
that.
Syrup in the foods. And what I did with London was, like you said, the nutritional facts. And I'm going to give some, I'm giving an actionable item before I finish speaking about this topic. So London and I, we were in Southwest Philly. I was taking her to work because she works now.
Mm-hmm.
At 14, she's 14. Oh, my baby's 14. Wow. Just saying that is ridiculous. So she's working, and we was down Southwest. We went to the corner store, and I was like, she's like, well, I'm not hungry. I don't want to go to the store. I said, yeah, but this is the corner store that you go to. She's like, yeah. So, all right, let's go in there, right? Again, education, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go inside. I said, hey, pick up anything. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is.
Right.
Pick up anything. Right. So she thought, you know, she's like, I know what type of time my dad is on, right? So I'm going to go pick up maybe a toaster strudel or a Pop-Tart, something that they tell us is healthy, right? So she goes to pick, or the pineapples that's in the syrup, right? Pineapples, dad. All right? So I said, then you're so smart. Right? I said, read the back of it. Yep. So she's reading. I said, what does it have in there? Citric acid, high fructose corn syrup. This doesn't sound so bad, Dad. I said, look it up. So we looked up what it meant, and it told us that it can cause ADHD. It can cause diabetes. Right? So some of the stuff that's inside of these cans can cause these preservatives that they're preserving these foods with, or these fruits with, can cause cancer. Right? So these are the things that's plaguing our neighborhoods, right? So we think they're coming out of nowhere. They're not coming out of nowhere. They're set up to be here for us to indulge in these snacks and indulge in these foods so that way that we feel the way that we feel, aggressive. It constitutes aggressiveness. And I was just telling her, I said, you see a lot of people are angry, and it's what we're consuming mentally, and it's what we're consuming spiritually, and it's what we're consuming physically, right? So this is what I would ask everyone to do out there. I always want to give actionable steps, actionable items, right? If you don't believe what I'm saying, I just want you to be conscious just for a second. Any food that you intake or you consume, after about 2 hours, see how you feel. Right? So go ahead and eat the Pop-Tart if you want, right? You'll feel with a burst of energy straight off the bat. And then in 2 hours, you're going to feel tired.
Crash.
You're going to feel angry. You're going to feel wired, antsy, restless, right? And then ask yourself, the second thing you want to ask yourself is, do I want to feel like this? Do I like feeling like this? Right. So what you can do, if you say, you know what, Mr. Dennis, I saw that, or Dennis, or Yogi Den, I saw that and I don't like the way that feels, try apple. Try a fruit, a whole fruit. See how you feel within 2 hours. See if you feel light or heavy or dense. See if you feel more energetic, more clear or foggy. Pay attention. And then based off of what you find, your findings, that's what you eat.
Indeed. And let's be clear, some of these things that you're talking about that were at these local stores, that is what they serve for school lunch, right? Those processed fruits that are in the cups, you know, those kind of those burgers that we don't know, God, if that's even real meat. So these are some of the things that we're feeding our children in our education system, and then say when they're jittery or they can't sit still in class, ADHD, or, you know, there's a lot of these things. So there's a lot of underlying issues. But now we spoke about, you know, us preparing kids for school, our fears, the lessons and principles that we want to teach our children in school. Let's talk about the corny dads himself. Let's talk about some of our experience while when we were in school, the things that we experienced. See, you spoke of, like, the lunch programs. I remember in the mornings, you know, my mom always working early. I would get up extra early, go into school, and kill that school breakfast. You know, you get the little orange juice in the cup and things of that nature. What were some of your experience in school? And I'm assuming all of us were in the public school sector. I was in both public and private. What were some of the experiences that stood out in your mind about school and the school experience?
Listen, first and foremost, I want to say that going back to school was like Christmas before Christmas, right? That's where you got fresh. Like, you get the fresh sneakers, you get the fresh outfit, you get the fresh book bag, all of the things that really don't matter. All of the stuff that really don't matter, right?
Right.
But nonetheless, it makes you feel good. Because I do believe that in order for you to be the best you that you could possibly be, you have to feel good about yourself.
Say, when you look good, you feel good.
When you look good, you feel good. So it does matter. In a sense, it does matter. But, you know, growing up in Brooklyn, New York, going to school to me was it was traumatic, right? Let's break it down, right? It was traumatic. So from elementary school, it was probably the most beautiful thing that you could possibly think of.
Innocence.
Right? It was innocent. It was cool, you know. But once you start hitting the fifth grade, that's when you really start understanding about gangs. And in New York, there was real gangs. You had the Bloods. You had the Crips. You had the Latin Kings. You had...
D-Seps.
D-Seps. Listen, we grew up in an area that was real. So going into middle school, that's when the trauma starts, right? So... The area that I'm from, you know, was the area that I'm from and the school that I went to, mm-hmm. they were two different areas, right? Mm-hmm. They rep two different colors,
yeah.
right? So going to school every day, you had knots in your stomach to what was going to happen. So when you talk about the school-to-prison pipeline, you talk about gangs mm-hmm. in the schools. Oh, it's been happening.
It's been happening.
Like 30 years. Like, I could talk about 30 years. I could only imagine how far back it goes, right? Wow. So, you know... You know, I remember one day, you know, me and a friend of mine, you know, you know the saying, yo, those sneaks are nice.
Oh, those sneaks man. Are nice. You already know what size are those?
What size are those?
Now you got to make an executive decision.
You got to make a decision. Listen, you got to make a life.
That situation.
It's life for life, but at it's that age, it's life for death. Uh-huh. Right? It's like, because you know, if you don't come back home with these shoes, yep. it's death at home. Yeah. Right? So you got to make a decision of two bad situations, right? So we all heard, yo, what size are those, right?
What size are those?
And I'll never forget me and my boy Stefan, you know, we went to. We did private school. That's where Our Lady of Refuge right there on Forster. So that's where we went. We did our First Communion.
Confirmation.
So, First Communion, crap. Confirmation, all yeah, of that yeah. stuff, mm-hmm. right? Catholicism. Mm-hmm. And our Caribbean culture, what we get is we get like nice gold chains, gold mm-hmm. rings, the whole nine, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. So this is after communion. On our way coming home from school, we just had a communion. Like, we're supposed to be holy. We're supposed to be blessed.
And protected.
Man, coming home from school, somebody popped our chain, man.
Like, sounds about right.
No. And not a kid. Like an adult.
Yep.
Came through and popped our chain, man.
Just paid in full.
And it happened so fast. He and I, we both stood there. Like, you got to understand, we have to be like... No exaggeration, maybe like 11, 12, my son's age. We both stared at each other like, yo, what just happened? Because he literally walked past us, snatched the chains, and kept walking. Mm. So we were both like, yo, what just happened? And it's to a point where we was like, run! And we started running. Wow. Like, you know what I'm saying? But how was school to me? Getting to school was traumatic. It was a traumatic situation. Being in school, because now you have to deal with the neighborhood and the color beefs, mm-hmm. that was real. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, I had some great teachers. Miss Bamir, how you doing? Miss Kovaleva, how mm-hmm. you doing? Mr. Snyder, how you doing? Mr. Kevorkian, how you doing? Miss Webster, like these are all teachers we're talking about years later that I remember them because they imprinted. You feel what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Like, you remember in their names.
I know that.
Would they remember yours?
Absolutely.
Would they say Osmond Charles, the greatest student ever had?
No, they'll say he was very inquisitive.
Very inquisitive.
I was Amir. That's why I love Amir so much. Right. I was Amir because I had all the questions.
And you go against the grain.
And I've always been known to go against the wave.
Yeah.
I don't ride the wave.
So how can I ask you a question about how did your I like that yeah I like that a lot I like that a lot how did that experience change or shape your perspective on the world as you saw it?
It just let me know that the world's cold out here. It's a cold world. It's a cold world, and to protect yourself at all costs mm-hmm. and to protect the people that you love.
Got you.
Right. And from an educational perspective, it let me know. From an educational perspective, that the entire, you have to look at whole education from a holistic perspective, right? Thanks. So when you're looking at the student, right, whether it's male, female, adult, or young person, you have to look at it from the holistic perspective as to everything from what are you eating? What mm-hmm. does your community look like? Mm-hmm. What's your economic status? Because mm-hmm. guess what? If you're going home, you know, to a parent who's down and out, mm-hmm. They just lost their job, mm-hmm. that creates an environment for you, right?
Yep.
So, you know, when I got into education, I've always looked at it from a holistic perspective, not just the student and the grade.
It's an ecosystem.
No. Mm-hmm. We looked at their entire ecosystem, mm-hmm. tried to do our best to help support that ecosystem in order to help, you know, in order to help foster the best student possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What were some of your experiences, Den? Something that stood out in your mind that was not taught in the classroom, that was not taught in the textbooks? Because she emphasized that, like, him going to school, going through that traumatic, knowing the gangs, it's kind of like everything, right? It's kind of like knowing, okay, what's their ideology and what's this group's ideology? And these are things, these are lessons that you're being taught without even knowing that you're being taught.
But guess what? Somebody's being learned, somebody's understanding the difference between trading at that age. I'm learning about gang culture, mm-hmm. what I can and can't do, uh-huh. what signs I could put up, what signs, what gestures I can make with my hands,
right.
what survival. Clothes I could wear, how I could wear my hat. Right?
It ain't nothing but survival.
Survival. But guess tactics. What? Somebody's learning how to trade at that age.
Absolutely.
Yep. There's a child at my age at that time when I'm going through all that. They're learning numbers. They're watching the stock. Right. Mm-hmm. They're learning something totally different. So there we go. So when we start talking about, like, you know, the difference in economics, mm-hmm. right?
And environment.
How I'm trying to survive and you thriving. Like, exactly. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly. How are we equal, right? How are we equal?
Man, yo, well, the great part about that is Justice don't know about that.
He doesn't.
Right? Because you said, not on my watch.
He doesn't.
Would that ever happen?
And for you too. You know?
For all of us. But in school for me, it was fun. I had a lot of fun. I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm going to tell you why. All right. So just be honest. Your physical attraction gets you a lot of places, right?
Indeed. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Of
it gets you. That's just, I don't care what you say. It happens. You know, whatever the case is. So when I was being in, you know, everybody knew me in my hood. I played all the sports. I did everything, right? Yeah. And I was pretty popular in my hood. Mm-hmm. However, I went to Mayfair in the Northeast. Back then, it was just like almost all white school, mm-hmm. right? And you had to be on a list to go. So I was on a list, and then my brother went up first, my sister then went up, and I was like last to come. When I got there, literally, I was lost. I didn't know what the heck was going on. I went into the class, and it was all white students, one black guy, Aaron Josie, and I sat next to Aaron because I was like, I don't know what's happening, right? But immediately, they loved me, right? Mm-hmm. And I came with the Jordans on, and I had all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They were wearing Skywalkers, Airwalks.
Shouts out to Buzzy Beat Athletics.
And I had all the dope sneakers, so they were all in awe. Like, wait a minute. Like, what are you wearing? Like,
you were the Fresh Prince.
I was the Fresh Prince.
You was Will Smith. Okay, got
it. I turned the school out, bro.
Got
Within
you.
8 months, everybody was wearing Jordans and Iversons.
Sounds very familiar.
8 months, everybody was wearing it. They were talking to it, some of the language, right? I didn't understand. The girls were sending me letters, notes, telling me they wanted to hook up with me. I didn't know what that meant.
You don't know what a hookup is.
I didn't know what that means.
Two different kind of hookups.
Real rap. Girl wanted told me she wanted to go out with me. I didn't understand what that meant. Girl told me she wanted to give me a hickey. I didn't know what that meant. Right? So I'm like, what are we talking about? She's like, you know, I give you a hickey. I'm like, oh, like a passion mark? We call it a passion mark.
Okay.
She's like, you know, I wanted to give you a hickey, and I didn't understand why you wanted to do that to
marker,
me, right?
Marker territory.
You know, so I experienced so much in that school. This is sixth grade. Fourth and fifth grade, I'm experiencing this. By the time sixth grade came, I was kingpin. I was moving around the school much different than anybody else who was moving around the school. So, you know, shout out to just that experience, because I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what they expected from me. But the culture changed when I got there. And I want to say a lot of it changed when I got there. But there was other influences, of course. But, yeah, so it was much different for me, I would say.
My gosh. And Will.
I had a lot of first times there. I mean, I'll leave it up to your imagination, but it's not like that.
I definitely get it. Listen, wow. I kind of wish I went to school with you, man. It would have been a pleasurable experience.
I wouldn't, because it was. I needed me to be again.
Yeah, listen, he went to school in Mayfair. Just listen to the name of it.
Yeah, it do sound.
What
kind
does
of
it
fly.
Sound like?
Mayflower.
Yeah, the Mayflower.
It sounds kind of lit.
Like, I'm just gonna leave it as that.
Freshly manicured yards as you go to school on.
That's a fact.
No, it's a fact. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah, it was different.
Makes sense. I mean, for me, going to school in Brooklyn, remember, Brooklyn was so eclectic, right? So I went to school with, you know, Russian kids, Jewish kids, black kids from the hood,
upper echelon black kids. Mm-hmm. So it was a nice little jambalaya. You know what I mean? Like my grandmother and my mom, they moved to a more quieter place in Brooklyn. It was still hood, mm-hmm. but it was a little bit quieter.
He moved on up.
He moved on up.
Come on, you know, but for me,
he had two houses.
He moved up. He didn't say that.
That was later on in life. But truly and honestly, especially junior high school, it kind of grew me to know what I would be in my latter years. And like, man, I was out there slinging basketball cards, bro. I was a big collector. I was out there packing joints up, selling it to my classmates, and just having different teachers from different walks of life. Getting to understand them and getting to talk to them on a daily basis, man, Miss Gerritano, man, she was the hottest. Shouts out to Miss G.
You're a freak.
I'm just saying though. But nah, she was hot. She was a young teacher. But truly and honestly, that shaped my life as far as knowing who I was as an individual and what I wanted to do. I always wanted to deal with commerce. Always wanted to deal with, you know, you need it, I got it. Or if you need it, I could get it done for you. Being the middleman, being the plug. But school, New York City school system is especially in the 90s, what different. A time to be alive. What different. A time to be alive.
Different.
And to know that these kids can't really experience how it was, because with technology, everybody's behind a laptop, a phone. It's just different. It's a different kind of, you know, like you have hickeys, like, you know, they'd be like, I'm going to DM you.
Yeah.
It's a different type of time that we live in. So it kind of alludes and leads to my next question. Like, as far as with, you know, us knowing how things are changing and transcending, let me take a step back. COVID-19 hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
You spoke of the homeschooling, mm-hmm. right? I guess me and C, we got thrust into the virtual learning. Right? Our kids are home, we're home more frequently. How was that? How was that virtual learning for you as we move on from 2022 into 2023 and seeing technology literally take over the world and change education as a whole?
Mm-hmm.
How did we kind of adapt to that virtual learning kind of experience?
I hated it. I hated it. And I think it was just because, you know, I was so used to, it didn't play to my strengths. Mm-hmm. I think was the biggest thing. It didn't play to my children's strengths.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being in person, showing charisma up front, I think was where we thrived at. So now when you can't be as personable when you're in, and sometimes you get distracted.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're over a computer, right? It's easier to do so many different things. And we witnessed that when, you know, you would call customer service sometimes and these cats were home. You know what I mean? Like, even, you know, these cats were home.
You
like,
different.
Yeah. Like, you want to help? Can you help me? These cats has got you on mute. And who knows what they're doing? I even seen a survey. I saw a survey that came out that said they anonymous survey that said that 9 times out of 10, they were doing housework. They were doing laundry. They were attending to the kids. They were doing cooking dinner. You know, then, you know, put it on mute and you think they're tending to your issue or your problem. They're not.
I did the same thing on Thursday. I was cooking dinner with y'all. So.
Guilty.
Is what I'm saying. But you can see, but if you're around in that surroundings, in that environment, if you see something not, of course, when you're out and you're at the office and you don't see your child doing what they're doing or you're paying attention to what they're doing or observing them, then of course it's out of sight, out of mind. But if I'm on a call and I see Dior climbing up the steps, then hold on 1 second, I'm going to tend to your needs. Get the heck off the steps, you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm doing that. So, yeah, I think it just, for COVID for us, it just sucked because I think the biggest thing for us, it was fear. I think the fear everyone had, thinking that, you know, the world was over and everybody was going just, that was to be it, you can't go outside and things of that nature, I think was the biggest thing. But adapting to, you know, again, our kids were already homeschooled, so it was kind of like, oh, it was like high five, like, yo, we, you know what I mean, we transition right into it. So I would say, it just to see the shift in the world, and when it came down to being scared and fearful, and just the nature of our entire economy, and everything really was drastic for us, I think.
How'd you handle virtual learning?
To be quite honest with you, I didn't. I think that's an area that I failed in,
mm-hmm.
right? And not only did I fail in that area, but this is an area where I'd give my partner the utmost respect. You know what I'm saying? Because there are certain things, like, you know, me and Justice, we work very well at, and there's other things that we don't work well at, mm-hmm. right? Like, you know, I used to be a tutor, so I understand how it's supposed to go.
The irony.
Yep. Right? So now yep, I have to you know, work with my child, and the truth is we butted heads a lot on that. Mm-hmm. And that's where she basically came in, and she ran the rock. Mm-hmm. You feel me? She ran the rock. But I do believe that, you know, even with her coming in and her being able to run the rock and get us into the end zone, I believe that we didn't win the game, mm-hmm. right? Right. We just put some numbers on the scoreboard.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
We didn't win because ultimately Justice was left at a disadvantage. I think all of our children were left at a disadvantage.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like my son, it got to a point where he's in class, but guess what? He's on his PS whatever.
Yeah, come
on,
yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
They're not engaged.
Like, no, and guess what? And he's smart enough to have it there, so he's looking.
Yo, he got it.
He's working in the right direction. Yeah, these swindlers, they swindlers, they know.
So it's like, you know, I think COVID-19, the whole COVID, you know, virtual learning era, because we weren't prepared for it,
for
right?
Sure, yeah.
I think we actually failed our children.
No, for sure.
Right? Well, now I think we'll be better prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Like with this whole monkeypox situation happening, if they decide to shut down, I think we prepared now because we're like, all right.
We've been here before.
I don't think we failed. I just think it was different. It was something new. And, you know, at the end of the day,
we failed. We failed.
I definitely
We failed,
well,
bro.
It depends how you define fail, right?
We define failure by our children weren't getting the educational value from the school system that we're paying into.
This is true.
Well, I don't know if I would say. Well, it's different times because you actually really don't know what they're actually getting unless you're with them 24/7. So I think it was just exposed that they weren't getting exactly what they were supposed to be getting because you were there.
I don't think it's about exposure, Dan. I think ultimately, right, being in the classroom, and you, I think you or Ace just talked about it, right? Mm-hmm. That opportunity to be charismatic, that energy, that exchange of energy, that wasn't happening, and it couldn't happen over the internet.
Over the internet.
Also in school, I was, you know, again, mm-hmm. think about it, if we were painting a picture, you're thinking about the teacher in the front, and what the picture that we're painting is that our kids are like this.
Tell me more. I know my son is not like that.
Tell me more. I want to know like more about what you're saying.
Yo, I ain't gonna front. One time, JC's teachers sent us a picture. Homeboy was like this.
Yes.
So I'm clear. But ultimately, what I'm saying is like, right, the energy, right?
Yeah.
The energy. There was no energy there.
But I wouldn't say we failed. I would say it was just different, and we had to adapt. And we did the best that we could. Did you do the best that you did?
I know I didn't.
Okay.
I know I didn't. I take full responsibility.
There you go.
I said I know I didn't. I give all the glory to my partner for making sure that JC was good during that time period.
I got you.
And then I'll come down like, I heard you missing this assignment.
Yeah.
Like
the enforcer.
Yeah, like, I heard you missing this. Like,
what's going on?
You're here all day. You're not doing anything. Like, and that's how I come down. But she's the person that was literally there like, hey, come on, Justice. Read this. Explain it to me. That wasn't who I was.
I got you. I understood.
Just came there like, yo.
I got you.
I was the grump.
That was me. But I had high levels of anxiety. Like, dealing with my son, like, he is a cancer. So, you know, it's like, if Sarah had four apples, it was one of those. But why? Why is it in the wagon? Why is it in the truck? And it's like, oh, dog, you killing me right now. So definitely was unprepared, and I failed miserably at it. And just, you know, I'm not a real tech-savvy guy. Coming into...
Why is it in the wagon?
Why is it in the wagon?
Yo, it's like that.
And it's different. I think one thing we have to understand about this generation that's coming up, they are going to challenge. They are going to challenge
everything. I love it.
Everything. And we have to accept it. Mm-hmm. We have to accept it. But listen, all in all, back to school is going to be a different time we're entering right now. But if you stay ready, you never have to get ready. All right?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of great things we want to talk about, Corny Dads. First of all, shout out to Buzzer Beater Athletics.
Buzzer Beater Athletics. Mm-hmm. All right. Sponsor.
And guys, always stay corny.
Stay corny.
Stay corny. Happy new school year.
Oh yeah, it's lit.
That's so corny.